Welcome to everyone. So today we're going to carry on with some of the ideas from the talk and bring them into our practice. And so in a certain way we're turning our attention on this retreat. But just to really be clear, the main idea in our practice is to be appropriate to what's arising for us. Yeah. So it might be, and in fact it probably will be, that quite a lot of the time today we'll want to be supporting that kind of samadhi, that calming, that centering, maybe that inclining to a deeper felt sense of the breath, you know, resting the attention on things which are not so unpleasant, yeah, as we were doing yesterday. So really using what is supportive for you. But what I'm going to speak about today is something that we can either drop into our practice or something that we can just really, you know, bring our attention to at certain times through the day. And that's this Vedana quality. And I think Zar was searching out today what the word is in Hebrew. So I don't know if you want to add that in, Zar. So Vedana is not an English word, yeah, it's a Pali word. Let's see. Oh, Sagiv maybe has it already. I think it was like, I don't know, what was it? It was like a Sivog? I don't know, I'm getting close. Yeah. Yeah, that's, if you like, yeah. In Hebrew it's great, yeah. Great, so, you know, these things are really quite important, yeah, that we'll see, you know, the way we understand a word. On the one hand, we really want it to be alive, right, and in that same way as our practice wants to be appropriate to our life, also our translation of these words wants to be appropriate to our life. How's that going to be useful? How's that going to fit into my existence? Yeah. That also means, like everything, it's going to change over time. Yeah. So like for me, I can say what I understand by Vedana today isn't the same as what I understood about Vedana a year ago or something like this. Yeah. It's kind of evolving. It's like, oh, and it does this and it goes there. What's the most important aspect about it? So just to bring it back, you know, so Vedana is kind of a categorization note. Right, and it relates to something, the best word is in Greek, which is hedonic. I don't know if that's, you know, a word that's used so much. It's, like it's related to the pleasure we imagine it will give, yeah? So hedonistics, yeah, are people who just want to have a good time. They want to disco, drink, drugs, you know, all that kind of stuff. Which is good, yeah? I mean, some of that's fine, yeah? But you don't want to be fully addicted to that. You want to have the range. And so the Vedana has the pleasant, it has the unpleasant, and it has the neither nor. Yeah. And what we'll notice is that very immediately, my attention isn't sharp enough to notice it getting added on to something. It's like when there's contact, sights, sounds, smells, tastes, you know, physical sensations, even thoughts, right? They get categorized as pleasant, unpleasant, or neither nor, or what we might say, nice, not nice, not bothered. Yeah. So this is normal, right? It's habitual, and it may even be unavoidable, right? But we can play with it, okay? So it's like something turns up and says, "Oh, I'm pleasant." It's like, "Oh, are you? Are you?" There's things we can do. We can play with it. And we mentioned a lot of those in the talks yesterday. But I would say a couple of things that it's really worth having in mind. And so this is what I'm playing with, Vedana. I think it's really important to look at these things for me in my practice, and I hope, you know, these will be useful for you. Right. It only refers to this phenomena in relation to me. Okay, it only refers to this phenomena in relation to me. This is pleasant to me. Yeah. And so just adding that, it's like a suffix, to add that onto the end of the sentence, this is pleasant to me, yeah, it's also going to change. It will change. So it could also be that we say, this is pleasant right now. You know? Yeah. This is pleasant right now, in this moment, yeah. It's depending on the way of looking, as we mentioned yesterday, and Zara touched on in the first talk. But even more, it's dependent on other features in the environment of space and time, right? It's not itself a fixed Vedana on this thing. Yeah. And all of that is kind of touching on this quality we've mentioned a few times. It's added on to the contact. It's not inherent in this contact. It's not inherent on this phenomena to be pleasant, to be unpleasant, to be neither nor. Yeah. So it refers to me. It's pleasant to me. It's pleasant right now. Will change. And it's added on. It's not this thing that's that way. It's this view that's that way. Okay. So I think the best question we could be asking right now would be, so what? Like, so what? So what that happens? Yeah. You know. So it happens. All right, back to life. You know, I've got a lot to do today. Why do you want to tell me about Vedana? Why? So what? It's important because these are the seeds that lead to dukkha, right? If we go through patterns of reactivity to this, we'll end up in a more stressful situation than we need to be. Yeah. Now we might think, I'm not stressed, but could you be more relaxed? You know, could you be more happy? Could you be more flowing with love? It's like, yeah, you could. So this is one of the ways that you could, yeah. So dukkha is not just about suffering. It's just about there could be more loveliness in this experience. Now, you'll notice when something pleasant turns up, we tend to pull it towards us, yeah. We tend to grasp onto it. We tend to want to hold onto it. We tend to want to make it last in time. Yeah, and if something unpleasant comes up, yeah, and again, we'll see, depending on the degree, right, it'll be subtle or it'll be really, really gross, right? We'll try to get rid of it, yeah, try to ignore it, try to reject it, try to push it away, yeah, try to find out who did this, get into the blame game. Hey, why am I having an unpleasant time? Who's messed up the universe again, you know? And then we'll notice the other one, yeah? It's not really pleasant, right? And we have to know, some things have to be really pleasant to get our attention, and it's not really unpleasant, yeah? It's neither nor. It's not really anything. And there are things that are going on right now, yeah? It's not enough of interest to the self, to me, yeah? That we ignore it, we zone out, we get bored, yeah? And then when you notice, there's something unpleasant about ignoring something. There's something unpleasant about boredom. And so it itself starts to gather, like leading to a sense of rejection, right? So right now there's air that we're breathing, right? It's pretty neutral. It's not pleasant, it's not unpleasant. So I didn't even notice, yeah? Stop breathing and you'll certainly notice what a pleasant experience it is to be able to breathe, yeah? You know, this condition that's going around right now that's affecting people's ability to breathe, you know? It's, oof, really harsh, really harsh. So then we can draw our attention back in to this experience and say, ah, does this deserve a neutral Vedana? Actually, just to have a breath. Oh, that's actually quite nice. It's actually quite pleasant. So you see, when you bring your attention there, it opens out a different range of experience. just in that thing, it's like, oh, it was classified this way to me right now, but that isn't the way it is inherently. It's actually really nice to breathe, and we start to bring that in, Vedanas change, right? So that's one of the kind of so what's, right? We don't want to escalate into grasping, clinging, holding on, clamping on, because that's all unpleasant, right? When something unpleasant arises, we don't want to get into that pushing away, strategizing, finding who's to blame. That's all really unpleasant, more stress. Yeah, we don't want to be zoning out from all the potential, what we might call the in-betweenness of existence. Yeah, it's not unpleasant, it's not pleasant. It's not getting noticed, but it's gorgeous stuff, like the sky. You know, wow, the sky, fantastic. So I could really get into that. Yeah, so the in-betweenness, the unnoticed. And being unnoticed doesn't get our attention, doesn't nourish us, and doesn't, you know, support those sense of actually, well, I'm really lucky to be alive, really lucky to have this opportunity. Yeah. So all these responses bring contraction, and all contraction brings dukkha. Contraction is this shrinking away, shrinking back, tightening up, getting tense, stress is dukkha, yeah, in that response. So we could say, simply, Vedana is a mindful way of looking at phenomena. Yeah, it's mindful, paying attention, keeping the attention with this. And it allows us to go beyond reactivity, because we're right down at that level of seeds. Oh, planted that seed. And then we're not like, oh, I'm going to make that grow into push and pull, yeah, on my experience. It's like, oh, I'm calling that pleasant to me right now. And we kind of, do you see? You just kind of just rest there with that. It's really quite radical. It's like, ah, oh, this is unpleasant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get you. I get it. It's unpleasant. Yeah. Okay. Okay. And I'll breathe. Yeah, it's unpleasant. It's difficult. Not rejecting it, not pushing away. It's like a whole new way. It's another doorway. I spoke last night about the Buddha and his keys. Yeah. Vedana. You put that key in. Oh. It's another doorway. Oh, that's interesting. I could be with something that's unpleasant without rejecting it in the normal way. That's a kind of freedom. So the insight brings a kind of freedom. The key unlocks a door. Where's it going to lead? It depends, right? Walk through, see. That experience, now that's got a Vedana. Oh, the ease, the delight, now that's pleasant. Oh, more of that. Oh, okay. Grasping onto this Vedana. But this is just a Vedana, it's just pleasant. Can I stay steady? Ah, yeah, right? So what we're saying in Dharma language, we say that it's the object, this phenomena, is empty of being a problem. It's empty of inherently being a problem. It's all in the relationship. Yeah? All Dharma is in the relationship. How am I relating to this? And as we know, it's always habitual pattern. Oh, pleasant, get it. No, stay steady. How am I relating? Bring in the kindness, bring in the metta. Yeah, wish it well, that kind of relationship that opens out for us. So what we notice is that noticing that every experience has a Vedana is, as I said, an inherited insight, right? It's not necessarily something we notice ourselves, it's something we can use. And it gives us this footing or a handhold, yeah, into this normally subconscious unfolding experience. It's like, oh yeah, whatever's happening right now, it's pleasant or unpleasant, whatever's in your attention. Pleasant or unpleasant, and it's probably starting to push and pull. Rest back, stay steady. Yeah. So just that, just see this, just to see this is enough, just a mindfulness practice. Now, what we're looking for is that sense of freedom that this can bring. Yeah, we're actually looking for the dissolving of certain layers of dukkha, of stress. Yeah. See that? So when there's reactivity, then there's dukkha. Dukkha and reactivity, just they inter-are. They are part of the same being. Yeah. When one relaxes, the other relaxes. So relax the reactivity, relax the dukkha. Yeah. This is the principle that the Buddha was teaching around. In life there's dukkha. It doesn't have to be that way. Let's find the techniques to lessen it. And this is one of them. What you'll also notice, interestingly, there is also the sense of self relaxes. Yeah, hasn't got a task to do right now. Yeah, it's also relaxing. What turns out to be interesting is when the sense of self relaxes, this being that was identified as this sense of self is actually having a nicer time. You know, the more relaxed the sense of self, the more enjoyable time, the more spacious the experience is. Yeah, so that sense of contraction, shrinking in, tightness, also eases. So all of these things come together. And we just mention it here, not to confuse, I hope, but just to say any of those could have been our avenue for releasing the difficulty. Yeah. Could have just opened the contraction. Could pay attention to the Vedana and not follow that lead of reactivity. Could soften that sense of self. Yeah. Oh, I have to get this, I have to. No, I don't need to. There's all of those ways. But today, it's around that Vedana. It's around that Vedana. It's really important to spend time with that sense of freedom when it comes. It's really important. It's not like, oh yeah, so that's, you know, I read the recipe, this is how to make fantastic, this fantastic meal, and I made the fantastic meal, fine. It's like, what? No, seriously, you just made a fantastic meal. You just reduced dukkha in your experience, right? That's a miracle. And you did it. Stay with it, right? Taste the meal. Enjoy it. Eat it slowly. Nourish yourself with it. Yeah. Digest the well-being that you just helped bring into being. Yeah. Digest and absorb. Yeah. You know, the Buddha has this lovely phrase, drop by drop, the water pot is filled. Yeah, so you might just think, oh, it's really insignificant. It was just a flashing moment of dukkha-lessness, yeah. A dukkha-free moment. But no, just let that one in. Just let it in. Let it soak in. Let yourself feel it. Yeah. We can move from a contracted and problematic relationship phenomena with phenomena to this kind of wiser, maybe calmer perspective. Starting to lean into what is referred to as equanimity, the ability to be with more things without getting shaken. And you see how that's going to be really useful in the life, yeah? Ah, difficulty. Unpleasant. Been here before. Know what to do. Relax. Open. Yeah? Not going to get knocked over. Yeah? We could say equanimity is like a major upgrade in the boat that we sail on the ocean with, yeah? So we're samadhi surfers, but now we're having a little ride around in the boat, yeah? And we've got a really big boat now. Those little waves, they're not such a big problem as they were, yeah, when we were samadhi surfers, yeah. So we're learning to ride the waves, but we're also learning sometimes just to cruise into that equanimity. And sometimes we can actually even cause the waves to disappear. Yeah, sometimes there's really, really big waves in our experience, and we can actually help to let them fade. So it's very helpful for navigating what we say like a tangle of emotions within a painful experience. Yeah, it seems really complicated. Oh, it's really, really complicated, and I'm getting these demands on me from other people. They're saying I have to do this. And I don't know what to do. What's the right thing to do? We can just say right now that's unpleasant. Yeah, that's unpleasant. Gives us a way, again, this handhold, foothold. Ah, oh, this experience, it's unpleasant. Yeah. Bringing attention to the Vedana as a practice avoids that escalation, yes, keeps us at the level of seeds, but it also can be brought in once the escalation has already happened. Well, I'm really in a whirlpool. That's unpleasant. So what you'll notice is the whirlpool experience is reactivity onto Vedana. Right, and that reactivity is unpleasant. Dukkha is unpleasant. So there's this reactivity, I don't want that. And then it's reactivity, well, yeah. And here I am, stupid me, pushing it away like an idiot. And then, God, yeah, I'm still not getting this practice. Oh, I'm probably never going to get it, you know. Reactivity, reactivity. And get into this whirlpool. Or like someone else comes in with some pressure and, you know, it all goes over. This is called papancha. Yeah, what the Buddha called papancha. Which is this escalation, this building up of thoughts and emotions, a real tangle, and we're stuck in the middle of it, and it's like any which way you go, it's sharp and pointy and unpleasant. But actually, this is identification, this is reactivity, this is unpleasant for me right now. also dependent on the way I'm relating to it. And just that, just staying with that, you'll notice it starts to unlock, starts to open the doorway. Just a couple of more things to mention, and then we'll get down to some ways of practicing with this. Mindfulness is kind. Mindfulness itself is kind. Like right now, you're very kindly giving me your attention. Yeah? Whenever you give your attention to someone, it's an act of kindness. Whenever you give your attention to an object or a phenomena, it's an act of kindness. Like you could be paying attention to anything, but you're paying attention to this. That's really kind. It's really generous. And what's interesting, you'll notice that the object that appears like an inanimate object, it doesn't appear necessarily to be alive. I am alive, I think. But, you know, say like, you know, a cup doesn't appear to be alive. You know, but you bring your kindness to, of attention to it. The way it appears will change. Right, because mindfulness is not neutral. Mindfulness is kind. And so you just try that out on things. Try it out on a pain. You know, if you bring mindfulness, which is to say, it's a sense of paying attention without rejection towards the pain, what do you think is going to happen? Just paying attention, just holding that experience. It's different. It's different than that experience of rejection. When we bring mindfulness towards something that's enjoyable, yeah? So we're not pulling it towards us, just holding it in that attention. You know, it's got this kindness quality. Now what happens in things when they're kind, yeah? Things expand, yeah? You give attention to someone, they expand. They expand in your consciousness, but they also kind of expand from their own side. We could say, or we can feel, or we can imagine, they kind of open out, they open out. So there's also this whole realm opening out for us. When we bring attention to something, it has this quality of kindness, and the thing will expand. So what you pay attention to really matters. Yeah. Now, the second point that this relates to is that what's been kind of explained and opened out through kind of psychology is that human beings have a negativity bias. Yeah, we tend to notice what's not good. You ever noticed you do that? Yeah. Tends to happen to a lot of humans. It's not a fault, you know. It's not a bug. It's a feature of being a human being. Yeah? You're meant to notice what's not okay, because that's how we evolved, right? If you go back in time, turn it off, then we don't get to sit here on Zoom, yeah, because you know we don't develop, we don't move forwards. So it's meant to be there, but it's also not the best way for everything, yeah. So we also want to practice the inclination towards the positivity. Yeah. So we talked about the in-betweenness, right? The unobserved in-betweenness. It doesn't matter. It's not important. We can incline the attention into that. Okay. So if we bring more kindness to what is just not unpleasant, okay, we're redressing that negativity bias. We're actually getting a more fair and even view of the field of experience. And, you know, we can stay interested in this, it will expand. Okay, it will fill experience and it will respond to the kindness that we give it. Okay? So that's the principles of today. Vedana, boom, it's gonna arise. Stay at that level of the seed, just mindfulness. Oh yeah, this is that. This is my experience. Stay there without the push, without the pull, that delicate dancing. Yeah, and you getting into that groove, the Samadhi Surfer. Oh yeah, pleasant, riding it, it's pleasant, riding it. Oh, it's changing, riding it. Yeah. So let's try it a little bit. Let's see what we can do. So if you get into your Samadhi Surfing position, something comfortable, something alert, just seeing, what do you want to ride right now? You want to ride the breath? You want to listen in to distant sounds? We just spend a bit of time getting comfortable in this. I need something interesting in this to keep the attention with it. So that you're sensitive, you're intimate, but you're also quite relaxed. So remembering that any experience will be either felt to be pleasant, unpleasant, or not particularly one or the other. So let's just notice what's the vedana of the shoulders right now. Just noticing that, just staying with that, not pushing, not pulling. Getting to the sensations, getting to the felt sense. And it's okay if it's, I can't tell. So it's neither nor, okay? What's the vedana of the eyes? Stay with the sensations, just notice. Just seeing, is there anywhere in the body that's feeling uncomfortable, unpleasant, tight? And just rest the attention there, just noticing the vedana, but also staying close to the sensations. Notice that kindness of giving attention, letting that do its work. Notice, is there anywhere in the body that feels quite neutral? Or maybe somewhere along the middle of the arm, or somewhere that doesn't normally get a lot of attention. Kindness of attention, do its thing, holding the attention there, seeing, is it changing? Is it the same? Seeing, is there anything at all that's even slightly pleasant in the body right now? If you can bear it, you could just smile a little, and you might notice smiling is pleasant. Could be that the inside of the elbows feel actually okay or even a little nice. If neither of those are working, maybe the little finger is having a good time. The top of the mouth, the tongue, only has to be okay. Just the littlest bit nice to me right now. And see if we can just sustain the attention there. Interesting. What'll happen with all this kindness of attention? It wants to expand, might fill the whole of attention, the whole of awareness, just expand a little bit. But the insight here is that we can go looking for different Vedana in our experience, in the body right now. We could incline towards something unpleasant, towards something neutral, towards something pleasant. So that key, there is a Vedana. It's added on, refers to how I think or feel about it right now. It's to me, and it's changing. It's changing. Your attention gets pulled away to something unpleasant, just notice that. Oh yeah, the negativity bias. That's important. It's good to have that. But also, what else is here? So if it's an unpleasant sensation in the body, what else is here in the body? Get a fuller sense. Just stay in the body field for now, for a few more minutes. But we will open to some other sense doors. So maybe the heart and mind have wandered away from the present moment. If so, just notice the Vedana of that. What's the Vedana? What's the felt sense? Maybe it's in the energy of the body. How does that feel? Is that pleasant or unpleasant to not be present? And as we become more present, which is what we already are, yeah, the moment we notice that we're not present, we're actually present. You have to be present to notice it. Maybe it's quite pleasant to be present right now. Often it's really quite deeply pleasant when we're more unified, harmonized. Body, heart, mind, attention, awareness. It's all present right now. Body, heart, and mind together. The whole gang. Well, how is it to be more embodied? More relaxed and alert. Less demanding, less push and pull. So just rest into this moment. So anytime the mind wanders away today, just notice, what's that like? And what's it like to be present with what's here? Might encourage us, incline us to see, it's more enjoyable to be present without the push and the pull. So maybe that's where we want to be. Let's open from around the bodily sense field to the sounds. What you hear right now, is that perceived to you as pleasant or unpleasant? If it's unpleasant, we soften the pushing away. If it's pleasant, soften the pulling towards. If it's neither, can we be with it without losing interest? You notice life is arising and passing, and we're just regarding, we're listening in to the Vedana that's added on, this spacious sense of knowing. How does that affect the experience of listening? Really tuned in to the Vedana, just tuned in to the arising and passing. Opening the field wide into the listening, whole field of sound, without the push and the pull, spacious kindness. a whole range of Vedana. You may notice there are also thoughts and emotions flowing through this conscious being. So pay attention. So if we can keep that same spaciousness and just notice, just generally, what's the flavor of the mind right now? It's not going straight into the thoughts, just towards that Vedana of the thinking that's occurring. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? We stay spacious, not too reactive, not demanding. Just dropping in there for a moment and coming back to the sounds. Listening into the sounds again. Steadying on the sounds. Switch back in again. Thoughts and emotions unfolding. The ocean of the mind. And then relaxing from there, coming back to the sounds. So just notice, is there an aroma? What's the aroma of this moment? What's the smell, the scent? Whatever the Vedana that gets attached to that. It's that spacious sense of knowing, without the push, without the pull. It's bringing our kindness of attention. What about the flavor, the taste of this moment in the mouth? Staying steady, giving space. Noticing for a moment the sense door of vision, of light, of colour, maybe inside the mind, or maybe if the eyes are a little open. If there's any push or pull there from the definition of pleasant and unpleasant, or neither nor. Come back again to body, this time more to the body energy, just the felt sense of the aliveness in the body. And for the last few minutes, just inclining towards anything at all that feels okay or supports okayness. Letting the breath be deep, still gentle, maybe still subtle. The energy in the body is a little bit restless, just giving more space, inclining the attention to the space. Or if there's tiredness in the energy of the body, just breathing with brightness, imagining some light, some upward movement. Pay attention to this felt sense of the energy of the body right now. You can just notice that it can be an object in attention, as if we're seeing it from the outside. We can also be within the object, just letting the attention sink within so that we rest inside this energy, like a cocoon around us that we're sensitive to. Who knows, maybe there's a slightly different Vedana to that dimension, being inside. Deeply touched, intimate with the experience. This Vedana practice, another key, another doorway. Ah, the Vedana of inside, the Vedana of outside. Can pay attention to different aspects, different dimensions of an experience. You can also pay attention to another phenomena in space and time with this Vedana key. See, how's the breath? Maybe the breath and the energy body together, floating, flowing together. Is there anything at all that would make this experience more pleasant? That be? Could we dare to do it? So one of the key insights we can play with in these transitions is that everything that went into a meditation can come with us out of the meditation as well. Yeah. The bell, it's just this kind of, it's actually, it doesn't mean stop meditating, it means bring the meditation into another posture. Everything you've cultivated, everything you've grown, all that sensitivity, bring it with you. Bring it with you. And so let's see, I just want to say a little bit about how we can bring this practice into more and more areas of our life. Yeah. So probably most of the time we want to keep doing the samadhi surfing kind of practice. Just keep nourishing, keep supporting yourself in that. And you can either just notice the Vedana of a distraction. That could be enough. Yeah. So, oh, our mind wandered away. Oh. What was that like? I'm coming back into the present. What's that like? Yeah. Kind of embed in us that we can enjoy experience. Another way that it can unlock our experience is like, ah, right now, to me, this appears unpleasant. What else is there in my experience that's not getting my attention? Yeah. What else is there? It's like maybe the little finger is still having a really good time. It's not getting any attention. It's like, oh, tune into the little finger. I'm not ignoring that, you know, this other thing is here. But just to check in, you know, just to kind of add in more other areas. And what's it like to pay attention to the little finger that's having a good time or wherever it is, yeah? While I also am in this experience, yeah? So, oh, attention, where attention lands, it really matters. It really matters. And it's a bit more optional than we might have at first thought. A third way, maybe it seems a more complicated way, is like other dimensions of this experience. So we touched on that. If you can feel that there's kind of like an energy in the body, and then you could perhaps feel it's different to be inside it or outside it, observing it. Yeah, that would work for some of us. But that's true of all experiences. They all have dimensions. Yeah. Everything is a perspective on an experience, like a view of from this side. Oh yeah, seeing it this way. Yeah. And that part is actually endless, so I'm not going to try and, you know, kind of tie it all up, but just to say, just to kind of point out that thing there, yeah. It's like all kinds of different dimensions on the same phenomena. And you'll notice it has all kinds of different dimensions. One of which could be it's changing. You know, it's changing. When I bring that dimension in, as I look at it, it's like, oh, here's this, and it's changing. Probably it's going to feel different. Yeah. So it can be really helpful to just kind of lessen those urges towards the two main hindrances of greed and aversion. Yeah, it can really go on in our life. So, oh yeah, push and the pull. It's also really helpful as this practice of noticing the in-betweenness, you know, noticing all those neutral experiences. And that's something I'd really encourage us to do, particularly in the walking practice. Yeah, we're doing the walking. Is there things I'm not normally noticing in this environment? So a lot of us are doing walking meditation indoors. Yeah, and so might at some times we get the unpleasantness of boredom. You know, we might get the occasional pleasantness of the idea of a cup of tea or whatever it is that we want to go and have and says, oh, that'd be pleasant. And yeah, can we just stay with it a little longer before we react, before we go on? Just notice how things open and shrink in accordance with what's the Vedana of that experience very often. Yeah, it's, oh, shrinking away, ah, opening up. I'm just playing along with that.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.